The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, going to look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now, back to the podcast.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Today, I'm excited to share something that's truly close to the journey that I'm going through of healing and growth. Mindful wellness is a revolutionary way to approach weight loss, hormone replacement, substance abuse, and overall wellness. I have been on and off the program for several months now. I gained a little bit of weight. I'm trying to lose that weight. I had my hysterectomy. I love working with Dr. Gupta and staff, Dr. Shaw for my hormones. It's just been the best process for me and the best experience. At Mindful Wellness, the belief is that sustainable health changes come from understanding and addressing the entire spectrum of our lives, not just prescribing medication like a lot of these doctors do and moving on. It's a holistic approach that places you, the individual, at the center of the healing process. Right now, they're making this comprehensive care more accessible through incredible specials, inviting you to start a journey that truly understands and caters to your need. What stands out about Mindful Wellness is their commitment to creating a partnership with each person that you work with. I truly love working with them. I'm so excited to partner with them. I know if you reach out today, you will get the support that I've gotten, and I can't rave enough about Dr. Gupta and staff. Go to Mindful Wellness today. That's mindfulweightloss.com and start your journey to a better and healthier you. Hi, everybody. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. I'm taking my glasses off, which is my favorite thing to do because they glare off of the computer if you're watching this on YouTube, and I hate it. If I could start a podcast, by the way, Fauna, without talking about being vain and my glasses, I think I talk about them every week. I need to stop. I'm probably losing listeners just over the stupid glasses comments. So I'm sorry, listeners, that I can't not be vain and talk about my glasses every week. I should change it to judging me for talking about glasses or something because it's so freaking obnoxious. And I would probably have changed the channel or the podcast by now. But thank you if you are tuning in and you want to hear about me and my vanity and wearing glasses every week. So I'm going to start before I introduce my beautiful guest by telling you all a story, which I like to do. I got hit on. Yes, I did. Your eyes just bulged up. And I'm telling you this because I'm of a certain age
And the people that hit on you, it just doesn't happen anymore, really. Like, when I was young, I was like yelling at people because like they would like, when I lived like in this, for a brief period, I was in like the Connecticut, New York area, and I would be like walking into the city auditioning. And, you know, I would get the catcalls and I'd be like, "Ew, you're disgusting." And I would seriously say things back to people. Now I would kill for a freaking catcall. So let me just tell you the story. So I go to this grocery store pretty much every day. It's called Lazy Acres. I love it. And I'm in the parking lot. I had just bought a tray of sushi, which I like to eat for lunch. And I'm sitting there in the parking lot and I kind of like looked at my sushi because I was super hungry. And then I didn't want to eat my sushi and like start shoving my face with sushi in case somebody was like looking at me. You know how people eat in their car and you don't, it's like a secret. I do too all the time because I'm always running around and I don't have time to eat. So I kind of felt like eyes on me and I looked to my left and I kind of glanced and smiled at the person. And then I took the sushi tray off my lap because I was about to devour it. And I put it on the passenger seat and kind of looked back and I saw the guy, and it was a young guy who's probably like 30 years old. And he points at he goes like this to me. So if you're listening, he points like, "Do I have a ring on?" And
yeah. But you do.
And well, no, but he didn't see it. And so I literally, like such a loser and a crazy lady, was like so excited that somebody was hitting on me that I rolled down the window like a grandma. And I go, "Oh my God, yes, I'm married. Oh my God, you're so nice. Thank you so much." Like a complete psychotic weirdo. Like the guy's face, like he didn't even know what to do, because I think he, like when he saw me become crazy like that and roll down the window, not roll it down, we're not in the 80s, but like put the window down.
Yeah.
He immediately was like repulsed and turned off by me, but I was just so excited and thrilled at the fact that somebody hit on me that I didn't know, I couldn't contain myself. And then, of course, I had to tell my husband that I got hit on. Because that's what, like, you have to do that, especially when you're, yeah. So that's my story for the week, everyone. Your friend Megan Judge got hit on. This doesn't happen anymore. It's a first.
I love it.
I'm going to start, like, I probably, like, I don't know what I was wearing that day. Probably had my hair in a bun, you know, like total mom. Like I was wearing my typical sweatsuit, no makeup. Like I still got it, ladies. Fauna, I still got it. Mm-hmm. I know you probably don't believe me, but I still got it. I need to tell you that.
I believe you. And you got it with a plate full of sushi and they were still
Well, I literally was ready to devour it. And I only smiled at him because I was kind of embarrassed that I had a tray of food sitting on my lap that I was about to like shove in my face. We've all been put here for a reason and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud, and I've been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
I am so excited to introduce my guest, Fauna Asfa. She's a recovery coach and the founder of The Good Work LLC. She's an author and new podcast host of Sober Daughter. Hi, Fauna.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. Fauna and I are Instagram friends. And And so over like probably like a year ago, maybe longer, we connected and I don't know how you found me somehow. And then you sent me a message and we were like trying to get you on because I loved some of the things you talked about and something you said to me. And I asked you before the podcast if you were comfortable about talking about this. Okay. So something my listeners need to know is I believe in everybody being equal. I don't care what color skin you have. I don't care.
I don't care what sexuality you are. I think every human being deserves to be treated equally. That's part of, like, I grew up Christian. I think Christian values, even though Christianity is getting hit really badly, real Christians believe in loving thy neighbor and treating people with kindness. And that's what we were taught. And that's what Christianity originally was. Sometimes I'm concerned about what's happening to it. Sofana said to me in a message, she said, I would love to come on your podcast. I don't know how you feel. I don't remember how you put it, but you were like, I don't know how you feel about having somebody of color on. And I literally was like, what are you talking about? And obviously, like, I see color and so does everybody. Like, if you say you don't, you're full of shit. Sorry, excuse my language. But part of why I do this is because I started it because I wanted that platform for people to understand. If you don't have a friend that's different than you, whether it be like a different religion or a different color skin or, like, I don't know, a different sexuality, try to make one. Because I think part of the biggest issue in our country with all the attacks and everything that's going on is that it's just about not understanding and not understanding that, like, we're all different for a reason. And you're doing yourself as a human a disservice by not learning and meeting people that are different from you. That's my little speech, and I'll get off my pedestal, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I am grateful to be here, but I remember that message, and I remember what was going through my mind was, you know, I saw you had this big platform, and there was a lot of, like, healing and, you know, really introspective topics you were talking about, and in the healing spaces, which I come from, and in the sobriety and recovery spaces, which I work and help people in, is extremely privileged and it can be extremely closed off. And it is, you know, pretty well known that it's predominantly white. So I am one of the first that is out there and, you know, showing people, like, hey, we are out here. We are part of this movement. We've been in this movement for generations, and, you know, to get kind of more, amplify more voices of color.
I love it. I love it. I also, like, when you said that to me, a little piece of my heart broke, you know, because I was like, I can't even imagine. Like, I do, like, I have white privilege. I'm a white woman. I'll never know what it feels like to have to send a message that says, hi, would you consider me coming on your podcast or coming on your show because I'm white? Like, really think about that for my listeners that are, you know, maybe not understanding. Because when you said that to me, I was like, that girl's coming on my podcast. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's happening. And I always feel like I need to apologize because of all the jackasses that share my same color complexion or skin.
You don't need to apologize.
Well, I do, but I just feel so sad that that's a reality. And right now I just feel like instead of it, like, getting better, I don't know what in God's name is happening. I would like to, I hope that it gets better. I think we all need for it too. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why it's so amazing for people to have these platforms, right? Because it starts to, like, we're talking about bridge this divide. And we're not separate as we want to think we are. You know, we're very connected. And the more we can reach out and talk to people of different sides and be like, oh, this is a human experience. This isn't just, you know, I have different experiences, lived experiences as a Black woman. But if we're navigating healing or sobriety or all those things, those are, you know, human condition experiences that we all can look at together.
Something I want to say too about, you know, the, it strikes me, but I'm not surprised because I've been talking to sober coaches and authors, and I've been doing this almost 4 years, that it does seem like when you said that, it doesn't surprise me because in our culture, you know, it's pushed on to have the privilege and the finances. It's very, very expensive to get help.
Thank you.
Okay. And so, you know, and as we all know, that this is a fact. Like, if you are a minority, you are going to have a harder time in life, like, you know, with financial resources. That's a fact. I mean, you're born into, there's a reason why it's called white privilege. And if you're listening to me and you're annoyed by me, or you think I'm being political, I'm not trying to be political. I really do try to stand in the middle, because I think part of the issues right now is like both sides of like Democrats and Republicans can't talk to each other. And it has become like so divided that I don't want it to be like that. But I also want to come from a factual place. And it's something that people don't talk about. So when you say that, once again, it's like there needs to be space for it, because in the Black community, I have interviewed many people, including one of my favorite people that was in a drunk driving accident and killed somebody when he was 17 years old. His name is Martin Lockett, and I love him. And he shares the story of what it was like, and that he couldn't talk about his mental health because he was a Black man, and he couldn't talk about like addiction, because in his neighborhood, it was kind of like everyone like smoked weed and everybody was drinking. So maybe you can address that before we go into your story. Yeah. And I'm sorry, this intro is so long, but I think it's important.
I love it. It is important. It really is, because to understand kind of the context of sobriety and how people navigate treatment, if you were predominantly in a minority community, you know, you get sober and you have to do that through either a nonprofit, or you go and it's because you got locked up for a drug offense, right? That's the kind of introduction to sobriety, unless you have examples of it. And we haven't had very many examples of it. And then you have another layer that if you're the last thing on your list, if you're dealing with, you know, systemic racism, or you're dealing with, you know, disparities in the workplace and all these things, the last thing you're going to look at is this drink that's helping me get through kind of the trauma of life, right? So it's multi-layered to really get to the root of like addiction is face. It doesn't care if you're white. It doesn't care if you're Black. Mm-hmm. It's coming for you. If you have it in you, it's a disease, and it doesn't care about color. The problem is treatment does. So treatment is at least $100,000. I mean, starting, we're looking at, you know, $100,000. And this is it's not a one-stop shop. So people can go in for 30 days and think, oh, I'm good. But if you have somebody that actually knows it, it's a lifelong process you have to learn. And so you want to give yourself at least a year of support. And that's out of reach for so many people. So, you know, the messaging of treatment and recovery in kind of this healing soft way, like we'll bring horses in, you'll do equine therapy, we'll bring breath work and all this stuff, has really only been delegated to people who have extreme financial access and people usually who are predominantly white.
Yeah.
And so my goal was, when I was fortunate enough to be able to do the very, very wealthy treatment, but that took me selling my mother's house.
Are you serious? Okay, we need to get into that. But I could talk about this subject and thank God I have you on, because I've never really addressed, I mean, I think I have addressed this, but again, mental health, the morsel of this disease is mental health, and something's usually stemming from your childhood, like 90%. And so on top of that, and it's not for everybody, it's a hereditary disease a lot of times. So if your parents are prone to like alcoholism, you probably carry that gene. But it is so true, because I have a friend, my friend's name is Denise, and she runs Milestones Ranch, and I've had her on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Denise. Maybe that's how we connected. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Denise.
Yeah.
And she's in it for all the right reasons, because a lot of these places are not in it for the right reasons. It's right. Just a money. It's a, like everything else. It's a
lot of money.
It's about money.
As we said.
Yeah. And so I've connected her with people throughout the years to like send her people. And I had someone I sent her and they just couldn't do it. It was too expensive. And it just broke my heart, you know? And sadly, this person didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So how common is that, right? Where people just want to get better and they end up dying. It's awful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The success rate is so marginal, you know, because it takes an extreme amount of support.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my purpose and goal from the beginning, was how can I level the playing field? How can I take these modalities and all these, you know, things that I learned and also I in turn teach and give it to a wider audience so that, you know, more people have access to more of the true healing that it takes to get through addiction.
Okay. So let's now, we're basically through the podcast. That was nice talking to you. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
It was wonderful.
I'm joking. But I do want to hear kind of like the backstory, because I think it's so important to talk about like how you found yourself in the place where you were and you got to the place where you're trying to make a difference and change what's happening in this space. So tell me a little bit about like where you grew up and like how this all evolved for you.
Yeah. So I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised, and I'm a parent, you know, my parents were from Ethiopia. My dad, actually, particularly my mom, is of mixed heritage, but she's met my father and I was raised in that culture. So I didn't have alcoholism in my history. I didn't have alcohol in the house. And that's one of the things I love to talk to people about, is that it is genetic, but also if we use it as a means of solution in our lives, meaning I used it to numb out, I used it to deal with my life, what was coming up for me, there becomes a point of no return where I don't know how to navigate life anymore without this drink. And that was my experience, was, you know, I loved my parents. We were a very small, nuclear little family, and I'm an only child. And it just ended up really awful that both my parents were terminally ill the majority of my life. So I ended up, you know, hospice caring for them. I was a caretaker the majority of my life. And both of them passed away. And that was just my breaking point. You know, I drank to not feel what was really happening, so that I could just show up. And I think that's a very cultural thing, especially for women, you know, like feeling like we have to carry the world on our back and just keep showing up and taking care of others and showing up and taking care of others while I was like killing myself.
How old were you when they both got sick around the same time, or was it spread out?
Spread out.
Okay.
So my dad first, my dad was sick through my 20s. So he passed, through my late teens and early 20s. And then my mom, because they were so, you know, they were like very much in love. Mm-hmm. The grief of losing my father, she just could never come back from it. And so then, you know, through my 20s, she passed in my 30s, and I got sober right when she passed away. So I got sober at 34.
You know, Fauna, this is so common, like what you just said with women too, but also I found in my life, I'm not sober, but I do know that I struggle with, and I'm very open with it. I love wine. And there's been periods in my life where I think I've had problems. I've always questioned it. When I lost my best friend, my whole world at 29. My whole world collapsed because I'd already lost my dad and my sister. And I just, I turned to the like alcohol and I just, so I can relate so much that it's like something where you're like, I need a way out. How am I supposed to stay here? How am I supposed to go on? Then on top of that, I can't relate to the caretaker like piece of it, but it's got to be so painful when you love somebody so much. And it's, I can see how much you loved your parents and just that they were in love and that, you know, you had that tight family that you love so much that it was like the, that's the easy, like it's the, why not numb yourself out, you know, with a drink? Yeah. Because there's like, what are your other options? Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. This time of year is the worst. I feel like I can't do anything and I can't enjoy my dinner because I can't taste my food and I can't work out because I feel tired and distracted. I can't even feel like I can host this show because my voice sounds like a duck. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I feel like I've been using Claritin D for probably a few months now, and I have really noticed a difference. I can work out. I'm not feeling like my eyes are watering and my nose is all stuffed up. I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
No, yeah. And I love that you share that too, because the reason I talk about my story in that way is a lot of us use a lot of different things to just numb out.
Mm-hmm.
And really the work that I help people do now is, it's called self-recovery, but it's how do I get back these pieces of myself I lost? And for me, I could clearly see that through the drinking. And I couldn't imagine, how do I love without my parents? How do I exist without my parents? What is my identity without my parents? And I just completely crashed out, like I drank myself into a hole. And I'm really, really fortunate because I had lifelong friends that, you know, knew me and knew that this would be devastating. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of rallied around, and I had an intervention, a whole intervention from my friends. And they were like, this is not it, Fauna. Like, you are dealing with pain beyond what we can, because everyone hadn't really lost anybody in that way before. And they were like, and which is so common when you see people struggling, it's like, sometimes you have to say, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I think we need to look for some help here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was able to put my family house up for sale and go to a full inclusive treatment center that dealt with trauma and addiction.
Can I just add that that's complete BS, that that's what you had to do? Like, that's not right. That's not fair. We have major, major, major work to do in this country to change what's happening. Because major everybody problem. Should have access to healthcare and access to mental health, help with mental health, like health, mental health care. Sorry, I can't speak. If we could just do that, because I live in LA too. Are you still in LA?
Yes,
okay, we're meeting. I didn't know you were in LA. Okay, I'm in LA too.
Yeah.
I'm by the beach though. All my listeners know I'm a beach girl. Yeah.
I work on the west side. We're doing it.
Okay, we're doing it. But it's like, it just, the fact that you're just like in passing, like, so basically I sold my parents' house and then I was able to get better. Like, that shouldn't even be something that people should have to do. What a travesty. And then on top of that, the piece of it of being orphaned, okay, which is, I can't even imagine. So I, like I said, my audience knows, I lost my dad, and something I think about now, because I'm getting older, we're all aging, we're on this planet for a short time, I talk about it all the time, but my mom's getting older, and I think about that. And my mom and I like have ups and downs. We don't always get along. We don't see eye to eye. And we were kind of having not a great period recently. And I really had to just say, it's time for me to like kind of put things that I'm angry about aside and just know that she's here for, I don't know. I mean, I hope she's here for a long period of time. We just never know. But the pain of like losing a parent, especially one that you were close to, and then losing a second parent, and the like reality of living a life as an orphan moving forward. And in your 30s, you're still really young. Like, that's young. You're still a kid in your 30s, I think. I still think I'm a kid and I'm not in my 30s.
Well, thank God. Yeah. 'Cause I still so much. And I'm so sorry to hear about your dad, because when I hear people lose, you know, their parents that they're close to, it just like hits this deep, deep chord within me, because, you know, some of us have parents that we're like, oh, God, I can't wait for them to go.
Yeah.
But if you have a relationship where, you know, you are very connected, it's such a powerful grieving process.
Uh-huh.
It is. You know, I'm so grateful that I got to go to treatment, because I could not have grieved on my own. You know, one, I learned, you know, you can't grieve drunk.
No.
You
that's such a good point. I want to put that in a bumper sticker and say, Fauna said this. No, it's so true. Yeah. You cannot grieve drunk. And that's why we all do it. So I've done it numerous times, you know, losing a baby, turning to wine. Losing my best friend, turning to wine, you know, COVID, the loss of my,
COVID.
The loss of my group of friends that treated me like dirt, who I like to refer to as the Karens, for all my listeners, they know. And like that's a Band-Aid. But what really happens is you literally have to look this thing in the face, or it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. So you should be proud of yourself that you did that. Also, I say this all the time, is that grief is a lifelong process. So even though we go to treatment and we
do the trauma therapy and we do all this stuff, if you're listening and you're grieving somebody, it's okay. You're going to be grieving forever. But grief takes different forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that because, you know, part of the reason I drank was because I didn't understand why other people could get over grief and I couldn't. And what I didn't know was I didn't know how the grieving process worked. I didn't know that, you know, I had to fully submit to it and be in it and really move through those feelings. And it was extremely powerful, but it was also terrifyingly scary.
Yeah.
And there were so many remnants of it that, you know, I'm just now, this was years ago, I'm just now getting into a place where there's no twinge in my heart. Like, I remember them very beautifully and there's happiness and joy when I think of them. But that took so long.
Mm-hmm. I still deal with it. I still have you know, like I'll watch a movie. I talk about this a lot. Or like, you know, Julie's been gone for 21 years. Like she's been gone that long. And, you know, I'll go to bed sometimes and she was my whole world, my listeners know. And I'll go to bed. I went to bed that night and I just thought about it and everything came back and I was like ugly crying. And, you know, like, it's okay. You're going to have your bad days with grief forever.
Yeah.
And that just means too, that in a weird way, and I don't know if you agree with this, that it's a gift. It's a gift that even though I only had my dad for 13 years and I need to work because I've blocked him out. And I did a whole episode about how I can't really remember him because I just haven't really dealt with my dad's loss like I should. Yeah. That it's okay to like be upset and have those days. And I would think that you could answer this. That now that you're, you know, sober and you're a sober coach and you deal with people probably that have turned to alcohol for the same reason that you did.
Yeah.
What do you say to somebody that's like, you know, I don't want to go on without this person and I want to continue to drink and like, because I don't want to think about like that I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah. I think, I do a grief and loss group specifically for this because if you start to look at your relationship with alcohol and substances and realize that it's really, really harmful, you're going to begin a grieving process. You are going to start grieving the loss of this solution, of this way of life, of, you know, this old person and identity that couldn't face themselves and had to numb out and escape. And what we're doing when we're abusing substances and, you know, damaging ourselves that way is it's self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're practicing is such full avoidance of our feelings and ourselves that I'm willing to harm myself in the process instead of really feeling what's going on. And so first, just to create an atmosphere where it's like, it's okay. It's okay that you're terrified. Like nobody wants to look at what's really holding them back the most from being their happiest, most authentic self. That's why we escape and watch binge Netflix for like 14 days and I rot out on my couch. Like we don't want to always feel life in like this full intensity. Mm-hmm. But if you can start to help people get really okay with the idea that like, you're going to be grieving. We have to be kind to ourselves. We have to be soft and gentle. And we have to look at like, why were you doing this in the first place? What's the pain? What's underneath this? Why did you feel that the only way you could exist was to shoot yourself up every night and now you're homeless? Like, there are reasons underneath it. It's not just because somebody wants to, you know, be an alcoholic.
No. People aren't like, sometimes I see homeless people because we see them a lot, sadly, in Los Angeles. We have obviously a crisis and
It's really, I sometimes see them and I think you were once a little boy or a little girl or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like you were just a baby and somebody gave birth to you. And I wonder what your life was like as a kid, or I wonder like how you could have evolved to this point where you would pick sitting in a tent with like your feces to be able to smoke crack and, you know, snort fentanyl laced cocaine over trying to get help. Like, you know, like people really need to think about that. It's because that's how strong the piece of the addiction can be, where really mm-hmm. these people probably started. I mean, I know that you know this, but addiction can happen really fast. Like abuse can happen really quickly. I've had people on, one girl told me she was like bartending and she never touched alcohol in her life and went through high school and never went to parties. And all of a sudden she started bartending and then that everybody was drinking. And then just to be able to get through the shifts, she started drinking and drinking and drinking. And then she found herself mm-hmm. in her 40s and was like very, very sick.
Yeah. So, I love that you said that because alcohol is an addictive, poisonous substance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start there. If you are noticing that your relationship with it is starting to harm you, it is because it is actually doing its effect.
Mm-hmm.
It is a harmful, really, really toxic substance that is very, very highly addictive. So even if you have no intentions of like your life going off the rails or whatever, if we start, and they're called the stages of change. So if we start habitually, you know, going from curiosity to experimentation, and then we go from experimentation to habituation, which is like, I can't eat dinner unless I have this, or I can't have sex unless I do this, or I can't. If you're noticing that it's a habit now and it's intertwined with your life,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets to a place where, okay, now this is looking like dependence. I can't see my friends or be social if I don't have drinks because I don't feel like I can be around people. Or I can't go to work if I don't have a little snort in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a progression, right? So once you get to the end of that progression, you're in full-blown addiction. And I wish more people talked about what those stages of change are and help people become aware that, like, of course you can be a casual, normal drinker. Duh. But the problem is if no one's talking about how extremely toxic and addicting it is,
mm-hmm.
you can just knock those things back like nobody's paying attention and something bad happens in your life and you're like, oh yeah, this makes me feel good. And before you know it, you know, you've drank every day.
Yeah.
And then it's the train can't turn around once you're in dependence. You know, you have to get medical help. So talking more about, tell me what you think.
No, I think it's a good point. I've found like, I don't know. I think it's a very scary thing to take a step out of it. I do think there's positives to what's happening right now. The conversation is there, right? It's mm-hmm. happening. It's evolving. Just like the mental health, this all goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Like substance abuse, alcoholism, this all goes hand in hand with mental health. Like I talk about it all the time. And then right now we're in a place where I'm seeing more and more like, you know, people that are going in quotes, California sober, which I think is pretty funny because you're really not technically sober, but that's beside the point. But like, there's more and more like sober bars opening up and, you know, mocktails. And I'm noticing so many like sober podcasts, sober podcasters, people talking about this stuff. So the dialogue is there, but the dialogue needs to match what's going on with all of the rest of the things in our environment, because they all go hand in hand, right? You can be like, oh, like we're having mocktails, but like we're still like, you know, not doing anything about like getting enough beds in Los Angeles so the mentally ill people can
go in, have a bed because we have a shortage of places for them to go. So it's kind of like a weird place where I hope at least it's like evolving and taking baby steps into becoming, because what else do we have except for hope that we're making a difference, right? And talking about this thing. If we don't have hope, like, might as well shut down both of our podcasts right now. And then I'll go back to like, God, I don't even know what I would do right now. I'd probably become a dairy farmer because I love cows, but go on.
I love cows.
You
my
do?
Dream is a curly cow. I want a curly cow so bad.
That's okay. You're my second person I've interviewed. My listeners know I've talked about this before. I'm obsessed with cows. It's really weird. It just happened in the past. I don't eat meat. And then I went, see, we have that in common too. And then I went to the Gentle Barn, which I've talked about before. Have you been to the Gentle Barn?
Yes. Oh my God.
I'm obsessed with like animal. Like if you look at my TikTok and my Instagram, half of what I follow is like rescue organizations and like Instagram porn of like cows and sheep and like pigs.
Same. Yeah. Mine's cows and elephants. I mean, I can.
Oh, I love elephants too. Anyways, but my point is, sorry, I took that sidetrack, but it is true. It's like, we're at least doing like the more people that talk about it, the more the fire starts to be lit and hopefully more changes will be made. Right.
That's my goal. Yeah. I mean, my whole purpose is spreading awareness about, you know, sobriety but the healing. So again, like it's so quick that sobriety is being co-opted as this, you know, like very privileged LA, like nice skin, beautiful, like let's have mocktails on the beach. Like that's fabulous, but let's talk about the healing that goes on and like what is really happening here. Because if you stop using a substance that you have been addicted to or a crutch, we're going to need to heal what's underneath that. And we're going to need to take a deeper look. And so that deeper look is coming from spiritual teachers and guides. And a lot of the self-recovery that I teach is like, we have to do this internal work. Mm-hmm. And that is not always pretty. It's not always, you know, mock pina coladas on a beach. It's really about like, can I think about like my relationship with alcohol? Would I drink when I'm enjoying something instead of like alone on my couch? Can I think about like, do I need a glass of wine every time I journal at night? Can I try doing that sober? Like there's so many layers underneath, which is really what we're trying to do, which is heal our spirit.
I love it.
So that
I think it's so important.
You don't need to numb out and you don't need to escape as much, and you can be fully present in your life. And it's a wide diaspora of people and genders. And it's, you know, there's trans people, there's Black people, like the sober movement is huge, and it's not just, you know, mocktails.
Yeah, no, that is so important. And all of that stuff like plays into effect of, you know, that's not the right word. Oh my God. I didn't sleep last night, Fauna. I was up all night like stressing. So I'm surprised I even made it almost through a full podcast right now. I could talk to you all day. Actually, I feel like now I'm like, do you want to go to the Gentle Barn with me? Because whenever I
literally, don't tempt me with, I'm so down.
And I know all of the cows' names. Like my favorite cow is named John Lewis. I have a Roomba that I got for my birthday and I named it John Lewis after John Lewis at the Gentle Barn, my favorite cow. Anyway, I could talk to you all day. I know my audience will really appreciate this episode. I think it's important because it took like weird kind of turns, but I think the conversation is so important. And I think like everything we talked about is stuff that people really need to think about, like take yourself out of like your own self sometimes and really like think about other people and like how other people feel
And like you brought up, like, you know, the LGBTQ plus and trans and like that community, how they're being treated right now. There's a huge problem with addiction. Like that's a whole nother, maybe you can come back and we can talk about that. I want my audience, cause I know you have a hard out cause you have an appointment. And by the way, we had a hard time, shocker, starting the episode because I always have issues with something. It's just part of my life. Like can't get something to work. So we kind of have a shortened episode, but I would love to have you back because I think you're fantastic. Tell my audience where they can find you and like where your podcast is. Cause we didn't really touch on that. And I would love for my audience to listen to your podcast. I love supporting new podcasters. I think it's important.
I'm so happy that we got, you know, the tech issues out, but we went on the whole spiral, which is what I think is truly, you know, the conversation is just organic. But thank you for having me. And if you are interested in all that we talked about, especially healing, and if you're curious about, you know, what's maybe underneath some of these behaviors that you're like, ooh, that doesn't feel so good anymore. I have a podcast, Sober Daughter Podcast, and it's on all streaming platforms and YouTube. And what we do is we dissect different topics of healing for coming from either sobriety lens or just a mental health lens. And I have clinicians and spiritual teachers, and we just dive deep and we talk about what real people are going through and how can we heal ourselves. And maybe that looks like we're not drinking as much. And maybe that looks like I got over people pleasing, so I don't need to drink as much. And it's just a really cool deep dive into what's underneath it all. It's like, how can I love myself better in self-recovery? So Sober Daughter Podcast. And then if you want to follow me, I'm always doing crazy stuff. I'm at Fauna Aspa on all socials and TikTok. And yeah.
I love it. I'm glad we finally met in person. We're not like weird Instagram pen pals anymore. We're now friends.
It's real now.
We're now going to the Gentle Barn together. Everyone, thank you so much for listening and supporting my podcast. If you want to follow me or like reach out to me, the best way to reach me is either through my website, judgingmegan.com. That's Megan with an H, the proper way to spell Megan. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Judging Megan. You could follow me on TikTok, but my TikTok's really quite lame and I don't understand TikTok. I'm just always so appreciative to all of you. And in closing, you matter. Your story matters. Keep going. Thanks, Fauna.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.